Welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with my co-host today, Linda Jager. This is the Sundance Reel, and in the studio with us now, the director of the film Watchers of the Sky. This is one of the films in the U.S. documentary competition. It's Edith Belzberg. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Very welcome. So begin just by telling us, well, an unusual name first. Tell me about your name.
Oh, my name. It's a Hebrew name. It's a biblical name. It has various meanings.
Wonderful. So tell us about Watchers of the Sky. I mean, what's it about?
Watchers of the Sky, it starts with the story of Raphael Lemkin, who was this incredible man who coined the word genocide and also pushed through the United Nations one of the first ever human rights laws. And he did this not representing a country, an organization. He was impoverished. He barely spoke English. But he was able at that time, he was a refugee himself. His whole family had been killed during the war. But he was still able to bring all the nations, all the countries at that time together to pass this convention that was his hope would stop massive atrocities.
How did you discover Raphael's story and how did it inspire you to make your film?
I read Samantha's book, Samantha Power's book, mm-hmm. A Problem from Hell. And the first three chapters are about Raphael Lemkin. And I just remember being on my couch and reading and I put the book down. I said, I have to do something. You know, it was an immediate reaction of, I have to do something. And, it was the first, maybe 60 pages. And I knew immediately I had to do something. And then I continued to read the book and my desire only grew. And then I contacted Samantha, the author, and then that's how it all happened.
And Samantha is one of the four humanitarians you profile.
She is. She
How
is.
Did you select the folks to profile in film?
So it's interesting. So at the time, the Darfur crisis was at its height. Mm-hmm. Every journalist I knew, every filmmaker I knew was doing something and was traveling to Darfur. I had tried numerous times to get a visa. I was denied repeatedly. Then I tried to get the United Nations was going on a mission. I received a letter of request that I accompany them. I received also a letter from the African Union and I received a letter from the European Union. Each time I was denied a visa. And so I spoke with someone at the African Union and they said, come here, in Addis Ababa and Ethiopia and we'll take you, we'll walk with you to the Sudanese embassy. I was there, and after 2 weeks, it was clear I wasn't getting a visa. Mm-hmm. But as I was there, there were negotiations that were going on between members of the Sudanese government and also the rebel groups. And I met someone from the rebel group, and he said, well, come to the liberated territory in Darfur. If you meet us in Chad, we can take you, we'll cross the border, we'll take you across the border. I said, okay. And so I vetted him, of course. And then I went to Chad preparing to go into Darfur. I took a very small crew with me, my producer, Carrie Proper, and also cinematographer, Jerry Recius. And while I was there, it was the soldiers were, the majority of them were children, mm-hmm. as young as 13 years old. And I was very taken by this. And some were very much older, men in their 50s who would complain about their backs hurting when they were driving on the truck, But the kids really very young. And it was so I befriended a number of them and one of them really captured me. And at that moment, I had a choice of whether to cross the border and go into Darfur and be with the rebels as they really are battling the government or to follow this young soldier and to meet his family in one of the refugee camps. And I decided to meet the family of the young soldier. And so that I went to Eastern Chad to the refugee camps there. And when I was there, Chad is a very these places are obviously very difficult, and for the aid workers, it's incredibly difficult. They're surrounded by violence. There's sometimes not enough food or water, and they have to work in these circumstances and take care of tens of thousands of people. And there was one man who, from 7 a.m. to midnight was unwavering in his energy and his persistence, and also going above and beyond his UN mandate, which was unbelievable. And he his eyes just envelop you. And when I sat down and asked him his background, he said he was a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. He lost his entire family, and mm-hmm. he felt that every day he has to do for others what he couldn't do for his own family. And so then he became a watcher in the film, as we and then of course there's and then I started following Luis Moreno Campo, who is the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, and as I was following him as he was addressing the Security Council, I met Benjamin Ferenz, who was the chief, one of the chief prosecutors in Nuremberg, and also knew Raphael Lemkin. So everything everything came full circle.
So these stories of these people kind of intertwine then with Raphael's story?
Yes.
So this Raphael, I mean, when you say that he coined the word genocide, I mean, I guess I just, that's been happening for so long. I mean, for eons, but it's just interesting to me that it's just this or last century, I think, that the term was even coined.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been around so long and the crimes have been around so long. We just assume, as Samantha has said in the film, we just assume that the word has been around so long, but it wasn't. And he, you know, he went through many, in 1933, even before World War II, you know, broke out, he was trying to come up with a word for this crime. He had been studying this since his youth and even in college, and became a lawyer because he wanted to stop masses of atrocities. And he was constantly looking for a word. He felt if there was a word that really, really captured the weight of the crime, that he really believed that that would be enough to stop it. And after the war and after he lost his family, you know, he went through barbarity. And in the film, we show, you know, really struggling to come up with the right word. And then he comes up with the word genocide, which is half Latin, half Greek, genos and side. And he believed at the time, if he could find the right word, that he could really, it would bind humanity in some way.
And so does your film try to answer that question? I mean, given the fact that it's a planet full of humans, we continue to do these atrocities to one another. I mean, does the film explain why? I mean, is it just a matter of power, corruption, greed? I mean, what is it?
What the film does is it shows that we know these crimes are going to happen over and over and over again. What is our responsibility is to figure out how to, if not stop, then impede. We have the knowledge. So now the knowledge, now we have the responsibility of what to do. And that was Lemkin's point. What we know this, so now let's do something. It's like, if you know you might get sick in the winter, you're going to take a flu shot, you know. And he was trying really to find the mechanisms to put in place to stop this. And so the film really goes into what was our responsibility, what has been done, and what can be done. And what the characters show is what's possible. And that's what the film does. Lemkin showed what was possible, and the other characters in the film today who continue his legacy show also what's possible, what one person is capable of. And if one person is capable of what Lemkin did and what the other characters in the story are doing, then our institutions are capable of and must do much more.
Yeah. So they don't lose hope, huh? These humanitarians.
They don't, and I think that's what's remarkable. I mean, Ben Ferenz is 94 years old today. He's as active today as he was in his youth. He's at the UN constantly lobbying delegates to live up to their responsibility. And as is Samantha, as we know, is our UN ambassador now, and Luis Moreno Campo, who is now really focusing on education. And so they don't give up. And I think that's one of the most important messages in the film.
Watchers of the Sky, it was described as a lyrical film by the Sundance programmer. What do you think the programmer means by that?
Well, you know, something that was important to Lemkin, you know, is, you know, he really felt that we had, that humanity was worth saving, you know, and he felt that, you know, the beauty in the creation that we are capable of is what we have to reminded of, and also that each person is capable of this, and each person must be, you know, saved basically if their life is in jeopardy. And so something that was important to me was to show, really to capture the beauty of every day. And he, you know, the way he wrote in his journals was just incredibly beautiful. You know, how he described his childhood and how he described the trees and the birds and his connection and the people. And so it was important for me to bring that out visually as well, through animation. And so one way we tell his story is through animation. And then that led me also, every place that we went to, we filmed with the knowing that we were going to incorporate the animation. So it was really looking for ways to interweave all these stories together. So I think that, you know, the lyricism comes from the animation and then how we choose to weave the stories together using that.
Hmm. So you've had HBO, you've worked with HBO
yes.
before. Is this another
films, yes.
HBO?
We don't know yet. It would be an honor, of course. I've loved, you know, my last two films were at HBO, and so we'll see. We'll see.
Great. Has this inspired you to do more work on focusing on humanitarians? And
well, you know, it's inspired, of course, and it's, you know, we want to get this film out. Our mm-hmm. focus right now is to get this film into every school, into universities, and we have this incredible website, watchersofthesky.com. So I encourage everybody to come to visit our website. And it's we really believe that, you know, that people can be inspired by this film, and that most importantly, the next generation should have the opportunity to really see these amazing people.
Yeah, so it's watchersofthesky.com?
Watchersofthesky.com.
Okay. Well, Edith, thanks so
Thank you so much for spending
some time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Again, her film, Watchers of the Sky.
Oh, can I tell when it's playing?
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be Thursday night at the Redstone Theater at 10 p.m. and Friday night at Salt Lake City Broadway Theater at 6:45. So please come.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
Again, it's
okay.
one of those in the U.S. documentary competition. KPCW News Time now, 9:34.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Saturnino. I'm excited to announce a new Intermountain InstaCare right here in Park City. We provide access to urgent care without having to leave the area. Instead of waiting in line, call us at 435-649-7705. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.